To the swine indeed he will throw acorns, yet to the cattle he will cast barley with straw and hay. To the dogs he will cast bones, to the slaves he will give the elementary, to the sons he will present the perfect. What is presented in the foregoing is both the level of consciousness that rules over the people, and the type of instruction and knowledge in the form of food that can be provided to them in accord with their condition of mind. When Paul stated that he could only provide the Christians who he had taught the elementary, quasi-historical teachings of Christ and Him crucify, see animal soul, what he was stating was that they could only comprehend the allegorical symbols of the gospel designed for babes in Christ, that is, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. 1 Cor 3:1-3. Which provokes the question, what level of teachings can be conveyed to Christians who have yet to travail in the way and transform their lower animal consciousness and nature? In the above verses of the Gospel of Philip, the householder who is portrayed as being wise is cognizant of the ruling consciousness of others as seen in the statement. The bodily forms will not deceive him, but rather he will observe the disposition of the soul of each one in order to speak with him. In the world there are many animals made in human form, these he is accustomed to recognize. While each person appears to be in human form, the wise man will not be deceived, and will understand that in the case of the vast majority of people, their lower animal nature will so rule over their thinking and life that they will factually be beasts who walk in the form of man, existing at various levels in the soul's attempt to be fully born into the kingdom of man. See entering the kingdom of man. The only other source where this ultra-important knowledge is presented, though not very clearly, is in a reading of Edgar Cayce. In an Edgar Cayce Facebook group, I encountered the following post, which was drawn from one of the Cayce readings, which begins with a question that, what is meant by the resurrection of the body? The body that we have taken from matter has assumed various forms, sizes, and colors. And with what body shall we be raised? The same body ye had from the beginning, or the same body that has been thine throughout the ages? Else how could it be individual? The physical, the duet, dissolves, yes. But when it is condensed again, what is it? The same body. It does not beget a different body. Reading 262:86. And the post of the second part of the reading continues, we have one wavelength that is ours. We have one light beam, and on it we must come in, must go back to the Father, or else lose our identity. Then we must seek to purge the body until it is raised a glorified body to be one with the whole, and yet be our own. In other words, to know ourselves to be ourselves, yet one with God. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Our Lord resurrected and quickened his body. He is our pattern. So we, as he, must overcome death, overcome that transition, overcome that which is the conscious change of being in all matters, all phases, all experiences, that we may be one with him, as he is one with the whole. See A Search for God, ASFG book. What this reading of Edgar Cayce means is that when man is being formed in a new incarnation in the womb of its mother, that the soul's own animal nature reforms the body out of that soul's earthly/animal nature, the consciousness of which is in accord with the evolution of the soul's own animal nature, see animals that walk in the form of man, and the process of animal sacrifice in the Old Testament when the scriptures are turned within as the key of knowledge, see application of the key of knowledge, is an allegorical portrayal of the need to transform the lower earthly animal consciousness of mankind, see animal sacrifice and the living temple. It is the condition of each person's lower nature refinement that is one of the primary causal factors in your present life. If you are ruled over by a lower animal nature that is a wild beast lacking refinement and domestication, then it will be impossible for you to comprehend your own higher spiritual nature. And this is why Paul correctly warned that it was impossible for the baptized and confirmed Christians who he personally taught to understand their own higher soul reality, see animal soul consciousness. And what this means is that the condition of your physical vehicle or body will determine your ability to comprehend your own higher soul and spiritual natures. Why? because your body and physical mind will not and cannot function at the higher vibrational spectrum of mental and spiritual frequencies necessary to comprehend man's higher soul reality. And what this also means is that the allegorical symbolism of animal sacrifice in the scriptures is a portrayal of the domestication and transformation of your lower animal nature. See animal sacrifice and the living temple, without which transformation, it will remain impossible for you to fulfill the adage to know thyself. As divided realities where the lower earthly nature is the opposite half or polarity of the upper heavenly nature, the inherent division and evolution can only be brought about when opposite polarities can interact and evolve, and this interaction can only take place when the soul is incarnate in the fourth kingdom of man. And this interaction between opposite halves can only transpire in the oneness of the human body vessel. While division must be overcome, individual evolution of each segment of mind can only be brought about in an environment where each segment of the whole retains its individuality on one level, while being able to interact with each other on another level, which can only be accomplished when manifest in the balance of the fourth kingdom. Why is there a separation of the seven kingdoms or natures that when brought together form white light? Because each of the seven spiritual centers or kingdoms, as well as each of the 12 spheres of mind through which they mentally express themselves as patterned in the tree of life, must be individually evolved and brought to manifest wholeness within themselves. Which means that any suppression of any of the natures and appetites associated with the lower centers will derail and inhibit the advancement and evolution of the whole. But since few modern religious or spiritual leaders and schools of thought understand how the soul evolves and advances, we can perceptively understand the statement in the Epistle of Peter to James that if the body of esoteric knowledge was to become lost or thrown away, that it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. In the Alpha of creation, when every soul was as a weak flickering light portrayed in the above quotation out of the Zohar as a single spark of the divine mind, evolutionary growth could only be brought about when each of the seven kingdoms that make up the white light could manifest independently within the spectrum of that kingdom and still be able to interact with the other six kingdoms. In the outer world, we can observe that each of the seven kingdoms is manifest both separately and also interacting one with the other. What we are observing is the scenario of cosmic nature interacting with each other in accord with the cosmic laws. See the laws of creation. In the parable of the prodigal son, the son is portrayed as squandering away his inheritance on riotous living, and this loss of vital life force portrays man's loss of bioenergy that is squandered away into the cosmic nature of the outer world, instead of being channeled within ourselves in the endeavor to expand and maintain the necessary higher consciousness that is essential to bring about wholeness and the subsequent stages of birth. Which means that it is the very vital life force expelled by carnal man that is squandered away on riotous living, that is the bioenergy fuel that is feeding cosmic nature. And this is in fact the basis of many of the ancient religions who worshipped the sun as their god, because the light of the sun is the manifest light of the cosmic soul. But what is not understood is the reality that the light of the sun is dependent upon the cosmic organic energy of the whole of creation. In the divine pattern of creation, see the Trinity, divine pattern, linear versus intuitive development of the mind. Mind is the product or expression of the positive and negative, male/female. Polarities of the divine pattern of creation, and this divine pattern is holographically replicated into all of creation as divine expressions created in the image of the ONE. In the parable of the prodigal son, this vital life force upon which our consciousness manifests is portrayed as the inheritance that the prodigal son squanders away on riotous living. And while in the parable the squandering away of the bioenergy is portrayed in a negative manner, because the prodigal son, who is ruled over by his lower, animal, centers of mind, cannot utilize the bioenergy within himself. It is bled off into nature, where the son can then interact with the opposite polarities of creation externally. In many religious systems, sex is often portrayed as sinful, and yet, because sex is the biological catalyst that joins the two halves of male and female, this sexual interaction is both natural and necessary. Of course, a person of higher wisdom understands the full potential of sex and uses it to catalyst to develop and bring about the manifestation of higher consciousness and wholeness. Allegorically, those people who are portrayed as the people of the nations are totally controlled by the external forces of this world. The 12 spheres of mind are therefore manifest in the 12 signs of the zodiac. The people of the nations have yet to develop the intuitive awareness of their own inner dimensions of mind and being, or the reality of their true self or soul self that is the source of their being. Those who can be portrayed as the people of the nations lack the necessary higher consciousness to understand the higher dimensions and use of sex as a catalyst that enables the man and woman to manifest wholeness. Therefore, lacking the necessary higher consciousness, the natural expression of sex is not a sin, so long as the sexual act is not forced or coerced. And for those who can be portrayed as the people of the nations, this is true with respect to all the carnal appetites of the lower nature. Allegorically, those people who are portrayed in the Gospels as Jews are those who have received the law of God, but continue to observe the law externally in ritual and tradition. In the allegorical portrayal of the Jew, the 12 spheres of mind are expressed in the division of 12 tribes, which portrays the reality of inner division and conflict. Jews look for the kingdom to come externally, even though the Gospel teaches that the kingdom can only come within their own mind and being. See the end times, Armageddon, the coming of the kingdom. Jews worship God in ritual and tradition. When it states that God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4:23. What is being portrayed is the reality that those who worship in spirit must manifest spiritual thoughts and impressions of the highest expression. When rightly understood, evangelical Christians are in their consciousness. Jews who, having received the law, continue to look externally for what must be found within them. Quoting from the foregoing link, the death of Judas, that is, the Jew is not the personification of a person named Judas, but rather, the transformation of what is represented in the portrayal of consciousness in the symbol of the Jew, indicating that aspect of mind, or such a person, that looks outwardly for the kingdom, instead of inwardly. With respect to the Jews and their outward interpretation of the scriptures, Jesus said, "How terrible it will be for you experts in religious law, for you hide the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering." Luke 11:52. Thus, in understanding these words spoken to the Pharisees, the questions must be asked, how did the Pharisees and Jewish authorities hide the key to knowledge from the people? Why did Jesus condemn the leaders of the Jews for failing to enter the kingdom themselves? That is, you don't enter the kingdom yourselves. As Jews who are too carnal to understand the scriptures, they look for the kingdom to come outwardly, failing to understand that the kingdom can only come within you. And how did the religious leaders of the Jews prevent others from entering? That the primary objective of the gospel is to prepare and enable the seeker/disciple to enter the kingdom that is within them is further demonstrated in Jesus' condemnation of the blind religious leaders as seen in the words, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." Matt 23:13 NIV. Which means that the kingdom of God is not something that will come if we wait for it, but rather, it is a reality which man must seek and find within himself. The early Gentile followers of Jesus rejected the Jews as blind guides leading the people in the wrong outward direction, and therefore, their God the Jews worshipped was personified as the devil, that is. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:43-44 in KJ. And from an Essene and Ebionite perspective, the Jews were the epitome of abject spiritual failure and what not to be with respect to the necessary transformation into spiritual Israel. As the prodigal son begins to evolve through the process of external interaction with the opposites of mind expressed in this world, the mind of the prodigal son begins to mature and understand the conflict of opposites within himself. And the more he begins to evolve beyond his animal soul level of organic consciousness, the more he is able to channel his inheritance of vital life force within his own mind and being. How many soul breaths or lives will the process of mental development and evolution be required? The process is totally controlled by the choices that each soul makes over the course of the countless lives that soul lives. How long will each soul continue to squander away their inheritance or vital life force on riotous living and things of little substance and meaning? How many lifetimes will be required for each soul to overcome their own inner division? Immature, undeveloped soul are unable to utilize their inheritance of vital life force within their own mind and being, and what is therefore portrayed as riotous living is necessary as an important integral part of their soul development. The fulfillment of carnal appetites is the only means for the undeveloped soul to express themselves. When the soul commences their development enough to attain the level of consciousness to begin receive the higher law of God, a level of consciousness that is portrayed in the Gospels as that of a Jew who can only express the law externally in ritual and tradition, this too is a necessary stage of development in order to begin to channel their inheritance, a vital life force within their own mind, in order to bring about the necessary expansion and deepening of consciousness beyond organic human animal soul levels of being. Those who are able to make what can be portrayed as the inner journey and are able to enter the realm of souls and come into the presence of the soul that is the being of light often encountered in a near-death experience, NDE. The intensity and depth of the light is a direct indication of the evolutionary advancement of that soul. Unless you have gained access to what I portray as the realm of souls, see, and you have observed the difference between the size and intensity of each soul, it is very difficult to envision what can be portrayed as soul evolution. And because few have observed the difference between the light of the soul and fewer yet understand the source of the light mankind dwells in what can be portrayed as a condition of abject soul and self-ignorance. If we pose the question as to the source of soul energy and light power, we must begin to understand that our souls dwell in a 12-dimensional realm where duality and division does not exist in the manner of the present life that mankind is living. Therefore, because time at a soul level is a dimension of mind, the soul light is the result or fruit of the interaction of all the accomplishments of all the soul-generated personalities that the soul has ever lived as. Across the dimension of mind that we call time, see the enigma of time and the soul of man. Each of us is a soul-generated personality impressed into the present life that we are living. The soul whose mind is 12-dimensional cannot directly incarnate into this 3-dimensional reality which is necessary for mental development and spiritual growth. The light of the soul is comprised of the 7 primary colors that is the basis of white light that is. Genesis 9:13 states, "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." And the bow, rainbow, is a sign of the embodiment of the one that is comprised of the 7, which is comprised of the 12, and it is this pattern that is holographically replicated into all of creation. But as portrayed in the diagram at the right, the 3 colors that manifest the highest frequencies are representative of the higher, heavenly, frequencies of mind, while the colors that manifest the lower frequencies are representative of the lower, earthly, frequencies of mind. The mineral, vegetable, and animal kingdoms represent the frequencies of mind that are the opposite halves of the higher heavenly kingdoms, all of which must be manifest in the center, the kingdom of man, in order to achieve the necessary wholeness. As set forth in the statement from the Gospel of Philip that those who say that first they shall die and then they shall arise are confused. If they do not first receive the resurrection, while they live, they will not receive anything when they die without the physical body, which is of the 4th kingdom and the balance of the 3 upper heavenly and 3 lower earthly spiritual centers. It is impossible to grow and evolve the light of the soul and impossible to achieve the necessary wholeness and completion to bring about each of our destiny in the omega of creation. And the only means for the soul to evolve the light is to manifest in the human form of the 4th kingdom, where the division of the heavenly frequencies can interact with their own lower halves in the earthly frequencies, where through this inner interaction, wholeness can be achieved in the center balance. While Gospel of Thomas saying number 22 portrays this necessary interaction in the words, "Shall we then, as children, enter the kingdom?" Jesus said to them, When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom. Greater clarity is seen in the same teaching that has been preserved in the 69th chapter of the Gospel of the Nazarenes, which reads, "And one of the disciples asked him, 'How shall a man enter into the kingdom?' And he answered and said, 'If you don't make below as the above, and the left as the right, and the behind as the before, entering into the center and passing into the spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God.' It is therefore crucial to understand that wholeness can only be achieved when a soul-generated personality is manifest in the fourth kingdom of man, as portrayed in the above. Entering into the center and passing into the spirit, each of the personalities that the soul has lived as continues to dwell in the higher reality of their soul source in what can be portrayed as the soul-mind matrix. And this important teaching was removed from the canonical Gospels, but has been preserved in the Gospel of Thomas. See saying 84, the foundation of the soul and the threefold self. And while the soul-generated personalities that did not become manifest continue to exist manifest, being defined as achieving the next stage of birth and becoming at one with their soul and true self, the unmanifest personalities continue to provide an important reality in the evolution of the soul. Each soul-generated personality is as a single neuron connecting the higher soul nature with the lower soul nature within the soul-mind matrix. And when rightly understood, the light of each soul is the result of the number of soul-generated personalities who were able to achieve wholeness in each of the lives the soul has lived, see wholeness of mind and being. In the same way that the light generated by a light bulb is fueled by the positive and negative energy of a power generation system, the light of the soul, its depth, intensity, and size, is powered by the inner interaction of the male and female paradoxical opposites across that spectrum of mind that we call time. In the above, this interaction of divided opposites is presented in the words, "If you don't make below, earthly, as the above, heavenly, and the left, female, as the right, male, and the behind, alpha, as the before, omega, entering into the center and passing into the spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God." And this is the formula and pattern that must be embraced to achieve the necessary wholeness to bring about the next stage of birth thereby, turning about and becoming as a child of the kingdom, fulfilling the requirement. Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, Matt 18, 2-3, which prompted the disciples to ask in the above, "Shall we then, as children, enter the kingdom?" As a soul-generated personality, you only get to live one life. Then you must eventually be able to be restored to your soul as your true source of mind and being. If a soul-generated personality ceased to exist, then so too would the accomplishments of the life that personality would cease to exist, so too would the experiences and knowledge gained in that life be lost, and as a single neuron in the mind of the soul, so too would the connection that personality maintained between the higher and lower natures of the soul. Therefore, all the lives that the soul lived as in all the soul-generated personalities continue to dwell in the house of the soul in the soul-mind matrix, or, in the words of Saint Teresa, the soul,
she writes,
is as a castle made of a single diamond in which there are many rooms, just as in heaven there are many mansions. See Interior Castle by Saint Teresa of Avila. Since there is nothing but mine, each soul-generated personality has what can be portrayed as their own room within the soul-mind matrix. And from a higher perspective, even a life that can be portrayed as a failure provides wisdom upon which success in subsequent lives is built upon. Therefore, on one level, there is no such things as a life that is a total failure, because eventual success is built upon past failures. The question is, how many lives of failure must a soul live until some degree of success is brought about? In the diagram of the mind in the pattern at the left, what we see is the interaction of paradoxical opposites. The interaction of the upper, male, heavenly kingdom and its opposite lower, female, kingdom is dependent upon the interaction of the tree of duality, which is comprised of the three male spheres of mind, logic, judgment, understanding, with the three female spheres of mind, intuition, mercy, wisdom, with their opposite in the center, the fruit of which interaction is manifest in the center column, which is portrayed as the tree of life. Like a living power station, each unique life that the soul has lived is the substance of the fruit of the center of the tree of life in the form of vital life force across the spectrum of time and manifest in the light of the soul. A life where wholeness is achieved with each of the 12 spheres of mind interacting with each other at their highest level generates a great amount of vital life force that is the source of the power which fuels the light of the soul all connected across that spectrum of mind that we call time. In the same way that a light bulb cannot light without a source, the light and consciousness of the soul also has a source, and the power of the light of the soul is generated by the interaction of the 12 spheres of mind and the 7 kingdoms as manifest in the spiritual centers, aka chakras, across the spectrum and dimension of mind that we call time. To what depth did the male, 3 linear, and female, 3 intuitive, columns of the tree of duality and bring the energy and consciousness into the center tree of life in each unique life? And with this division overcome, the light is then dependent upon the depth of achieving wholeness between the lower earthly kingdom and the upper heavenly kingdom, where the lower 3 earthly spiritual centers, as portrayed in the diagram of man at the right, become merged with their opposite upper 3 heavenly spiritual center, are brought into the center, thereby producing the white light of the soul. Now, when we bring all the personalities which the soul has lived across the dimension of time, personalities that continue to dwell within the soul-mind matrix as stated in the Gospel of Thomas, see saying 84, the foundation of the soul and the threefold self, and the product of all the light of all the personalities or breaths of the soul, are the basis and foundation of the totality of each soul's light. And because time is a dimension of soul-mind, and on one level, all the lives that the soul has ever lived continue as part of the soul consciousness, the soul is able to draw upon each of the accomplishments of all the personalities in the manifestation of soul light and experiential soul knowledge. In the same way that when you physically breathe, you draw in not only oxygen, but also bioenergy from the etheric field of your mind, see the reality of mind that surrounds the physical body, bringing this bioenergy through the spiritual centers in the head down into the lower centers in the physical body, thereby circulating the bioenergy throughout the 12 mental spheres as patterned in the 4 trinities of the tree of life, which are manifest in the physical organs, thereby returning the flow of bioenergy back up into the head and the etheric mental field that surrounds the physical body. The higher cycle of soul breath is holographically parallel to the breath each person takes to maintain physical life. Throughout the above article, it is demonstrated how a husband and wife in a genuine consecrated spiritual marriage, with the woman acting as a surrogate for the man's own suppressed feminine nature, create what can be portrayed as a morphic field that immerses the man and woman in their own etheric atmosphere that has the ability to supercharge their mental and spiritual centers with spiritual energy or vital life force that connects them with their higher soul selves. This wholeness of mind and being enables them to see and understand what divided organic man is blind to. Because of man's holographic reality, the same natural laws that control the process of birth in the physical function in a similar manner in the mental and spiritual. In the same way that once the ovum and sperm become joined into an embryo and evolve into a developing fetus, and the fetus is nourished by a physical placenta that both separates it from its mother to the degree that the mother and fetus can have different blood types, while still nourishing the fetus as a type of interface into the mother's bloodstream, the etheric atmosphere or morphic field separates the husband and wife from the carnal thinking and limitations of organic mankind, while maintaining a connection with the mind of their higher soul selves that nourishes them with spiritual impressions and thoughts. In the same way that the natural laws evolve the embryo into a fetus and create within the womb the environment enabling the fetus to be born, these same natural laws enable man and woman as a cosmic embryo to evolve and bring about the next stage of soul birth, where the person attains a condition of being at one with their higher soul self. Each soul breath, when rightly understood, is a continuation of the previous soul breaths. Throughout the above article, the reality is explored where each action initiates a corresponding opposite action within the mind and life of the individual. If the opposites can be brought together and merged in the third force balance, then growth is achieved. If the initial action cannot be merged with its opposite, then the process is resumed in a subsequent soul breath where that soul is born into the opposite conditions in order to resolve the imbalance. And this goes to the core of the gospel teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. As you do unto others, the same will be done unto you. Jesus not only taught that the life that everyone is living has been predestined from before they were even born, but that one's failure to embrace and abide by the higher laws of Creator God will bring about a type of imprisonment, an imprisonment that is portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being. See outer darkness. Thus, the oft-ignored warning, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Gal 6, 7 NIV. In any one soul breath, when an action is invoked, and the corresponding initiated opposite action cannot be balanced in the center then, because of the lack of inner balance, that opposite action must be resolved and is lived out in a subsequent soul breath which we experience as a lifetime. Thus, as you do unto others, the same will be done unto you. That is, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Rev 13, 9-10 NKJ. And when you understand captivity to be any action that forces another person to do anything against their own will and choice, we can begin to understand the hardships and sufferings of life, as portrayed in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Matt 6:11-12. The law is that each action must be resolved, and when our actions can't be resolved within ourselves with the opposites balanced, then our actions must be resolved externally. That each person will be returned to this life in accord with the debts they have incurred in their soul's previous lives and will remain in their own self-imposed prison until all debts are cleared is the same as the statement that thou shalt by no means come out from there till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing, Matt 5:26, which means that your present life has been orchestrated by the actions of your soul's previous lives, and whatever debts you have incurred in this present life will be returned back to your soul in a future life and thereafter from life to life, until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. In the words of the Church Father Origen, every soul comes into this world strengthened by the victories or weakened by the defeats of its previous life. Origen, De Principis, see the Early Church on Predestination. Thus, whatever befalls you in the present is the result of your soul's actions in a previous life. And you don't understand this reality of the laws of creation because the Church edited all these teachings out of the Gospels. See the Religion of Roman Emperors.